This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Uh-oh. I thought we were the most desirable state in the nation. But no, it's starting to plummet. Last year, Washington, U-Haul moving vans, moving trucks, they compile a list every year of one-way rentals, which correlates with people moving from one state to another. It's their migration trends. And 2 years ago, Washington was number five as most desirable place to move. A year later, our state is number 36. No other state in the country had such a big fluctuation. People don't seem to want to come here anymore. And this is a direct result. People do a lot of research before they move. We have been a very desirable state because we don't have a state income tax. But Jay Inslee and the Democrats in the legislature have made it clear that they want desperately a state income tax. And people are saying, well, I don't want to go there. I don't want to move there then. They've already imposed an income tax with this long-term care insurance ripoff, where they're just taxing people hundreds and hundreds of dollars a year. Most of those folks will get nothing in return. It's one of the worst ripoff insurance plans of all time in our state. But it's much more than that. You know, the Mike Kreidler is punishing people with good credit, so their insurance rates are spiking. And I'm getting emails about that from people who have seen their insurance, both their mainly their car insurance, and it has gone way up because you're punished in our state for having good credit. It's as bizarre as it gets, but that's the way the Democrats in our state are doing things now. They figured out that the people who do the best are the ones who need to be punished the most. As I said, I'm getting emails about that. I'm just pulling one up from Sharon. We just got our auto insurance info, and it's gone up over $300 for just 6 months due to Mike Kreidler's decree to not use good credit ratings for rates. I wrote his office and in essence told him we're 69 years old, retired, and on a fixed income. Told him we could not afford to pay for everyone else and that it was not fair. Also, to quit forcing his socialism ideas on us. Finished with his policy was crap. His office did tell me, because I called first, that they were receiving a lot of phone calls like mine. But we have politicians who are, and so for this retired couple on a fixed income, their auto insurance is going up $600 a year. And you simply cannot make easy adjustments when you're on a fixed income like that. It's not like you're going to get a big raise. So this is what Mike Kreidler, your insurance commissioner, is doing to seniors. It's what the Democrats in the legislature are doing to everyone, except people like me who already had long-term care. I tried to tell you, now almost every private long-term care company has pulled out of the state. The Democrats in our legislature ran them all out. So now you all have to pay the long-term care insurance. If you make $75,000, it's more than $400 a year that you have to give to the state of Washington. You'll probably get nothing in return. But that's the crime, too, why people don't want to come here. You know, whether it's the guy walking his dogs in Pioneer Square a couple days ago and he has his face slashed. His name's Alex Drummond. He's talking more about his attack. He was just walking his dogs and all of a sudden a pit bull, which all the drug addict, homeless tent people down in Pioneer Square seem to have a pit bull. And all of a sudden an unleashed pit bull starts running and attacking this guy's two little dogs that he was taking for a walk. And he tried to help fight them off. And then the owner of the pit bull came, and he tried to fight him off. And then a friend of the pit bull guy pulled out a knife and slashed this guy from the corner of his mouth all the way to his ear. His name's Alex Drummond.
I'm marked for life. Like, I'm scarred for life now because of this.
And he said the pit bull that was attacking them.
And as I turned around, this pit bull was charging towards us, slammed into my little dogs. And then I tried to pull them away, but the pit bull was just, like, on them.
And you may remember a few months ago, we extensively covered a story about another person with a small dog, and a homeless guy, a drug addict, just came and kicked her dog, sent it flying through the air. The dog died. I'm sorry, not her. It was a man. And he was also living in low-income housing near Pioneer Square. And he had nothing. He had no family. He had no friends. He said all he had was this dog that he loved so much. And all of a sudden, a maniac came and kicked that dog through the air. And this guy who was attacked remembered that.
As soon as I saw that, I thought about, like, 2 months ago where a dog was kicked to death up near the courts. So I just jumped in, pushed him out of the way, like the guy away from my dog.
And then the pit bull owner's buddy came.
And as he lunged and came around, that's when the knife, like, connected with me right by my ear and then went down to my mouth.
So this poor guy, he says that, you know, what a lot of people are thinking, and, you know, this is right near the stadiums where you have tens of thousands of people milling about before Mariners and Seahawks games. And you have pit bulls running loose. You have drug vagrants sitting around.
This is what happens when you don't try and take care of the city. It's no good setting up, like, music events and trying to, like, creating a kids' park and making it a fun environment, because it's not a fun environment. It's a dangerous and scary environment for the residents that live here.
And this guy's scarred for life now with a huge slash from his mouth over to his ear. And this, I'm getting tired of this guy. Council member Andrew Lewis, who has overseen so much of the breakdown all the way from Ballard down to Pioneer Square, his district. And when people with problems call his office, I'm told they get no response. But man, if there's a TV camera nearby, the most dangerous place in the world is between Andrew Lewis and a television camera. Because after this guy gets slashed, then he comes and says, oh no, it's pretty bad.
I think that we need to just recognize the situation, frankly, that Pioneer Square has some really big safety challenges during COVID that demand more from the city.
What do you mean during COVID? What does that have to do with anything? Pioneer Square has safety challenges during COVID. You telling me that it was safe as can be 19 months ago? But everything's getting blamed on COVID, of course, when it should be getting blamed on politicians like Andrew Lewis, who are completely ineffective.
And what I hear constantly is, I want someone I can call when there's someone in mental health distress that's in my business so that they can get help and assistance. And that is a service we can't currently provide. And that is the biggest gap that we're facing.
But you're part of a city council that won't increase funding to retain police officers and hire more police officers. What a phony this guy is, Andrew Lewis. He's just as phony as they come, man. But, and as I said, I've talked to a lot of citizens who have called his office and never get a response when they've had complaints about people defecating in the doorway of their business. But then when the TV cameras show up, he comes rolling by. He must have, you know, some people have a police scanner. He must have a television station scanner so he can figure out where to run when some TV camera sets up. Because he's not doing much as a councilman from all of his constituents that I'm hearing from. All right, next up in the Fastest 15.
She said, do you come from a land down under?
Yeah. So, Men at Work, of course, came from the land down under. Their lead singer, Colin Hay, I went and saw him at Benaroya. I think a buddy of mine and I went to see him about 4 years ago at Benaroya, and it was just a solo acoustic concert. And, man, he's good. I really love him. In fact, Nicole, can you pull up a song while I'm telling the rest of this story?
Okay, sure. What song?
Nicole, this is one of the greatest vocal performances of all time. Nicole always gets on me because I say that like 50 times a week to her. It's the song Overkill. And it's an acoustic version of Overkill by Colin Hay.
Okay.
And they used it in, what was that TV show, Scrubs? Did you ever watch Scrubs?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, they used it. I never watched the show, but I've seen the scene where they used this song. But I'll get back to that. So why am I talking about Colin Hay? Why am I talking about Men at Work and the Men Down Under? Because your president, Joe Biden, he was doing a little press conference with the British Prime Minister and the Prime Minister of Australia. Only one problem. He could not remember the Aussie Prime Minister's name. So here's how, I shouldn't laugh. Here's how Joe Biden got around it.
Thank you. Over to you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Boris. And I want to thank that fellow down under. Thank you very much, pal. Appreciate it, Mr. Prime Minister.
That's what he calls him. Standing right next. They were on monitors, the British and Aussie prime ministers. But he's standing right next to this image of him that's supposed to make it look. His name, by the way, is Scott Morrison, since Joe Biden couldn't remember it. But that fella down under is what Joe Biden's calling Aussie prime ministers. And then pal. They're pals, I guess.
Thank you. Over to you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Boris. And I want to thank... that fellow down under. Thank you very much, pal. Appreciate it, Mr. Prime Minister.
Thank you, pal. Thank you, buddy. I don't know your name, but you're my pal. Jeez. The lead singer of the band 5-4 Fighting, he's written a song. Man, I'm guessing, because they're a band that's had a little bit of success, and in showbiz circles, they do not like you if you're not liberal. But the lead singer's name is John Andrasik. And he has written a song about Joe Biden. And it's scathing. It's just absolutely scathing.
Got blood on my hands.
Well, this song is, if you watch the video for it, it's all kinds of images of Joe Biden and, you know, holding him responsible, correctly so, for getting 13 of our bravest blown up in Afghanistan. There was a drone strike last week where they said they were taking out a terrorist, but it turns out they took out an aid worker who was, and a bunch of children who were trying to deliver water to one of the camps. And it's just, it's a disaster. But I do think that everything we're doing and seeing with COVID, I think it's meant to be a distraction for letting hundreds of thousands, 200,000 a month coming across our southern border. I think I said 200,000 since he became president. It's 200,000 a month coming across our southern border with Joe Biden. He's getting soldiers blown up. And I think I misspoke about John Andrasik. I said he's the lead singer of 5-4 Fighting. I believe that 5-4 Fighting is his stage name, if I'm not mistaken. But go check it out. It's called Blood on My Hands, and it's a song about Joe Biden that is pretty accurate. All right, Nicole found Colin Hay's Overkill for me.
I can't get to sleep. I think about the implications of diving in too deep. Possibly the complications, especially at night. I worry over situations I know will be all right. Perhaps it's just imagination. Day after day, it reappears.
I wish I could play the whole 3 minutes for you.
Night after night, my heart beats.
That's what music radio's for. I'm not supposed to do that. I'll bring it up just for a few more seconds, Brady. Oh, then it gets at the end when he starts amping. Now, Nicole, admit it. That's a great song that I just played, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but really? That's the greatest vocal performance?
No, I just said that to annoy you because I've said that many times to you. And then you told me a few weeks ago that you get sick of hearing that. So every song I ask for from now on, I'm going to bill it as the greatest vocal performance ever.
Okay.
Just because you let me know that it bothers you so much. Okay, anybody have kids at Virginia Tech University? Because this shows just how big our hearts have gotten in America. An instructor at Virginia Tech in the Department of Human Development and Family Science. Oh, I bet the grads who come through that department make a fortune. But instructor in that department, Crystal Duncan Lane. In the syllabus, she has apologized to the students at the university because she's white. Here's what she writes. Under who I am a Caucasian cisgender female and first-generation college student from Appalachia who is of Scottish, British, and Norwegian heritage. I am married to a cisgender male. And we are middle class. While I did not ask for the many privileges in my life, I have benefited from them and will continue to benefit from them, whether I like it or not. This is injustice. I am and will continue to work on a daily basis to be anti-racist and confront the innate racism within myself that is the reality and history of white people. This work terrifies me. So what? Just quit then. If you're such a horrible human being, just quit. Cry it out loud. But don't use it to score points when you roll the woke word dice. Just quit. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, you give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Well, he just landed. We'll see if he's made it to a rental car in time. Brock Huard's going to drop by for a little visit. That's coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.
It's Hump Day with Huard.
Blue in it, check. Brown, 24, Razor.
Brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. Where the 12s hear the Hawks.
Play fake to Penny Russell, lets it go. Down the far sideline, reaching up, making the catch. Touchdown, Seahawks!
Here's Dory Monson.
No, it's not Hump Day with Huard. That would have been yesterday, but Brock was busy. Yesterday. He's a very busy man, especially this time of year, gallivanting about the country. And he joins us live on this Thursday afternoon. How are you? Where'd you just land? Your plane just landed?
I just landed, got the rental car, just pulled off a highway that you've probably driven on a few times. I don't know how many times when you made your way over to Pullman, you flew into Spokane, grabbed a little rental car, and then you headed south on like 130-something.
Sure.
I got 70 miles to Colfax. So I just pulled off the road, Dory, because I'm a responsible driver. I'm the son of a driver's ed teacher and a football coach.
Yep.
And it's a beautiful day, man. It is God's country in the pine trees here in eastern Washington on my way down to the Palouse.
It's the Inland Empire and then it melds into the Palouse. I can tell you how many times I've driven that highway in my life, Brock. You're right that I've driven it once. But I went to Pullman. It's horrible. But my daughter was there for all 4 years. I've been to Pullman a total of 3 times in my life.
What?
Yeah. Drop-off day, one dad's day, and then pick-up senior year day. That was it.
That is terrible, Dory.
No, you know, yes. Okay, yes. I agree with you. It is.
Yes. Yeah, it's terrible. That's your daughter. That's your coop.
I know.
They're a wonderful community.
And I know.
They had Dad's Weekend every year, and you did it, what, once?
Once. And the thing is, Brock, the dads are trying to relive, many of them are Cougs themselves, and on Dad's Weekend, they're trying to relive their Pullman days, and it just bothered me to see so many fathers getting hammered with their daughters and sons.
Confessions. All right, you want a confession? One
yes.
of the fellas I'm meeting here, a couple of my dear friends, my buddies are coming over for the game, and he said... And he texted me and the other friend of mine and said, hey, I need you to hold me accountable. I don't know what it is, but every time I go back to Pullman, the 1990s comes back out of me. So you need to make sure you limit the amount of intake for me this weekend. So we will hold him and hold his hand and make sure he's a good boy.
And then I've heard, even though my wife went to Mom's Weekend every year, and my wife comports herself very well. But I've heard that Mom's Weekend is even worse. You got moms standing on tables in fraternities, flashing the boys. Sounds like a nightmare. It sounds like my worst nightmare. Anyway, we got other stuff to talk about. Hey, you wrote something interesting to me. We just found out in the last half hour, confirmation, because it was almost assured, Seattle's going to get the 2023 All-Star Game. And I wonder if they'll finally clean up Pioneer Square when we have a bunch of tourists coming to town. That's one thought I have. Mm-hmm. But then your thought was the restrictions on fans and this vax passport or mandatory vaccination, all that to go to the stadium. That it was particularly crucial to hurting the team in the last few days.
Well, I think the Mariners, let's see, I know that the Seahawks, Dory, are one of four NFL teams, so the 28 others, they're one of four, I believe, with Buffalo, with Vegas, and with the New Orleans Saints that are putting some barriers to entry to get into the building, be it,
right.
You know, a negative COVID test or proof of a vaccination card. I just call that a barrier for entry. And, you know, the Mariners just had an enormous, enormous homestand where, you know, they came into it very viable for a wild card playoff spot. And, you know, you looked at the crowds on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday against the Red Sox. You know, the Boston Red Sox coming to town, they were two back in the playoff to them. If they were to sweep them, they could pass them and be right there in the hunt. And it was 17,000. 18,000,
yep,
17,000, you know, and I said to you, Dory, I remember having this conversation a couple weeks ago, and kudos for 710 ESPN extending the deal with the Mariners. That also was announced yesterday. That is awesome. They shouldn't go anywhere else. They should be on Cairo. It's where they started, and they've been for a long, long time.
Great.
You know, and I said to you, remember those days when you were coming up in the business, like, and you started, you cut your teeth? Do you remember what the old Safeco Field was like? I mean, it was 45,000 people. They were the 12. Before the 12s, it was the Mariner fans that packed that place out. And here was an opportunity over these last 3 days to make an impact, and you play a role. And I guarantee you, if you ask those Red Sox players who are in Boston with a packed Fenway every night, even the Dodgers have a packed Dodgers house every night, they don't have those barriers to entry. Those Red Sox players would say, wow. Yeah, we cut a little bit of a break. It was kind of nice playing in front of only 17,000 because when the visitors come and play in Fenway, that crowd impacts the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm speculating. I don't know what the percentage of people is, but I guarantee you there were some that said, you know what, I'm out. I'm not doing that. I'm not getting a vax or, you know, showing my vaccination card or doing that to get into this arena when 98% of the other arenas around the country – do not put that barrier to entry in place.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. It really nullifies the home field advantage, which is very real in sports. And back in the day, September baseball was what everybody lived for, because a baseball pennant race, a friend of mine once described it as like your heartbeat. You get up every September morning and you can't wait for that night's game, because the games are almost every day.
Yeah.
You can't wait for that night's game. You can't wait for 4 o'clock so you can start watching the East Coast scoreboards. And now they, for the first time in 20 years, they're in a pennant race. And the fans just stay away. And, yeah, you're probably right. The barrier to entry, I'm sure, was a factor for some, many, who stayed away. That's a great point.
And by the way, Dory, those teams, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you mentioned that 710 extended the deal, the radio deal with the Mariners. And you know my whole theory about that, right?
No.
Okay, last time the Mariners were in the playoffs was 2001, right? 116 game winners, baseball record. They'd been on Cairo, then Cairo, when we were the same station, forever. Yeah, not forever, but since the mid 80s. Then they went over to Como after that season. Mm. They haven't made the playoffs since. That's the Como curse right there, Brock.
Well, you said it, and you know what was a bummer, Dory?
What?
That's your theory.
It sounds like my theory made you uncomfortable.
Yeah. Not everybody, Dory said that, just in case you were curious. You know what else is a bummer, man? This team is a great group of guys. There's not a turd bucket on it. I mean, they are selfless. One of the relievers who gave up the big hit the other night, and a leadoff triple, right, in a game that was tied late in the game, and another reliever came in and gave up more runs. And nobody, his name is Joe Smith. He said, no. The media, you're not going to talk to the other guy stuck in line. You're going to talk to me. I don't care that he gave up the runs. It was on me. I gave up the triple. I led to the failure of that inning. Just total accountability, total ownership, total buy-in. Young guys playing their guts out, man. Like, this is a team that you can really get behind. And that was, to me, just, again, a little bit of a bummer to not see that place packed out, playing an impact on the outcome of that game.
Now, that's a great point, because many, many years ago, when Safeco first opened, I believe they had 3 million in attendance 1 year, which, them and the Dodgers, and that was about it.
Yep.
All right, well, I wish we had time to talk about your Huskies and our Seahawks, but we'll have to save that for another day.
We will. Okay. These moments go too fast, Dory. But I'm going to hop on this highway that you've been on one time in your life, and I'm going to enjoy the ride through the Inland Empire. And if you see a white GMC, wave at me. And remember, Dory said it, not me, Dory. Okay, see ya.
Drive safe. Brock, you are joining us, and we have lots more to come. It's the Dory Monson Show. He hung up. He's actually rolling on right now. Well, we just talked to Brock Huard, who's on the highway to Pullman. I love Washington State University because my daughter loved it so much. And I really mean that. My wife and I are Huskies. Our two oldest daughters are Huskies. And our youngest is a Coke. And as much as we all loved the University of Washington when we attended, nowhere near as much as my youngest loved WSU. So I love it, too, for that very reason. So Brock Huard's on the highway to Wazoo right now. He's going to do the broadcast for Fox Network on Saturday of the Cougar game. But there's tremendous controversy still, because the coach of the Cougs, Nick Rolovich, he still has apparently not gotten the vaccine, the COVID vaccine. And it became a big kerfuffle in the summertime when they had Pac-12 media day, and every coach was there except for Nick Rolovich, because the requirement was he had to be vaccinated to be there. And he said, no, I'm not vaccinated, and I'm not going to reveal why. I have personal reasons not to be. So now Jay Inslee has mandated that every state employee has to get the vaccine. And he's a not only a state employee, but as people just constantly talk about, he's the highest paid state employee. Nick Rolovich makes $3.2 million a year. And so, although it comes out of a different budget than most state employees, they're dedicated athletic budgets that athletics theoretically pays for. But there's all kinds of pressure on him because the students have to be vaccinated who are on campus. And the Seattle Times has a piece today saying that we're not getting any answers from Rolovich. He brushes off questions about it. Nobody knows if he's vaccinated. He said that he's going to somehow abide by the mandate. But a woman who works for the Pac-12 network and used to go to WSU, Cindy Brunson, she said, I am super frustrated and horribly embarrassed. Now, she's not just frustrated and embarrassed. I am super frustrated and horribly embarrassed that my football coach was the only coach not at Pac-12 Media Day physically because he refused to get vaccinated. And the fact that he is the highest paid employee in the state of Washington at a university that has bent over backward to become a leader in the medical field is beyond my comprehension. I can't wrap my mind around it. So a couple of days ago, he had his weekly press conference. And Chris Daniels, the fine reporter at King 5, he grilled Nick Rolovich about the vaccine and his vaccine status. And here's how that went.
Have you received your shot or have you scheduled your shot?
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about that, Chris. I understand what you guys are trying to get to. But
are you seeking a religious or medical exemption?
I'm not going to talk about that either, Chris.
What's been your hesitation with talking about it more forthcoming?
I don't know that it's all that positive to get deep into it with the media, the way it's going. So I'm just going to try to keep that to myself and concentrate on being a coach here.
But I think you can understand that you're the highest paid state employee and that there are fans, teachers, and students that are upset about your stance on this and your lack of insight about why you haven't said that you've received the shot or not. How do you answer those people that are upset about your stance on this?
I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say here.
Well, there are people who have said that you should be suspended or terminated by Washington State University over your lack of a statement on this, on whether you're going to get a shot or not.
Okay.
I mean, there are people that are upset and would like some clarity from the highest paid employee in the state about whether they're going to get the shot or not.
Okay. I understand that.
So again, will you get your shot or have you scheduled your shot?
I'm not going to answer that, Chris. And we're going to move forward with USC at this point.
I think that's Daniel's being a really good reporter. That's how reporters should be, especially with people who work for the government. They should answer to us. But so that's Chris Daniels being a really good reporter. I don't think he went too far. I don't mind what he did. By the same token, I'm probably the only person in the world who has this opinion about what Chris Daniels did and about Nick Rolovich. I don't mind that Nick Rolovich doesn't want to answer questions. I don't think it's any of my business that what his reasons are for not getting vaccinated. It's none of my business. It's his life. I don't have any say over this guy's life. Now, I understand he's a government employee, and I understand the highest paid doesn't matter to me at all. I don't know why that's relevant, whether he's the highest paid or somebody who makes 120 grand, like many state employees. That's just not relevant to me. But as I said, I'm probably the only person who thinks it's a great job of reporting, but Chris Daniels trying to get answers. And it's absolutely fine that the person being questioned doesn't want to give answers. I think that this outrage is manufactured, quite frankly, about Nick Rolovich. I don't care. And he'll either get the vaccine or he'll get fired. I don't know how a guy walks away from $3.2 million a year. That's where I think the money's important. It probably factors in his decision-making, but I don't care. It's none of my business how other people want to run their medical lives. Okay, we're going to check the news for you here at the top of the hour, and then the big lead at 2, including a mom whose third grader has been sent home because a classmate was infected. All that straight ahead.